Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Missing Parts by Diana V. Roberts is a standalone fiction that explores the enduring power of friendship, the impact of life's choices, and the resilience of the human spirit in the face of adversity. Through Lacey and Mimi's story, readers are invited to contemplate the complex interplay of factors that shape our lives and the lives of those we hold dear. Missing Parts delves into the complex factors that contribute to resilience in the face of mental illness and life's challenges, exploring why some individuals thrive while others struggle. Diana has been a professional fundraiser for many years, serving major nonprofits in the Boston area. Earlier in her career, she served in the Peace Corps in North Africa and later as a speechwriter in Washington, D.C. She worked for several years in Tokyo as a feature editor for the major Japanese English newspaper, and Diana B. Roberts, author of Missing Parts, our guest on This Week in America. Diana, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Looking forward to discussing this book, Missing Parts, the book available wherever books are sold. Give you Diana's website as we go through the program. Why did you decide to write this book, and what made you feel you were the right person to tell this story?
Well, I have always been pretty familiar with mental illness since my mother was mentally ill from the age of 16 forward. And the two main characters are experienced having no mothers because their mothers are, as we say, away, meaning institutionalized. So I thought I would be the best person to write about this.
Something from your background, and it's interesting how the story unfolds. It's a gripping story. It's Missing Parts by Diana B. Roberts. Her website is dianabroberts.com. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What made you want to write this particular story? Talk about coming up with Lacey and Mimi and telling the story through the eyes of these two characters.
Well, I've always been interested in the concept of survival and renewal. And my mother, who was very mentally ill, I once asked her, "Are you happy?" And she said, in her old British sounding accent as a sort of fallen person, she said, "No, Diana, it's not about happiness. It's about survival." So that sort of fueled me to write the story. And of course, the Mimi character is, she's all the things I wanted to be, but wasn't. So I that's why I describe her as completely talented and beautiful and all the things that I was not.
Well, it's interesting how the two lives, and let's talk about that. Let's go back to what the 60s and the 70s, and the two of these were best friends. And then, as happens with best friends, you go your way, they go their way. Talk a little bit about what happened and how they're reunited.
Well, so Mimi marries a Harvard Law School graduate and decides to go to Newfoundland to help the poor people up there in the hospital setting. And Lacey decides to join the Peace Corps. And so they lose touch with each other's lives until about 1995. And I wanted to cover the late 1960s because that was my era. And then I wanted to pick it up in 1995, which is a very different era. And so, that's what I did. And, being a part of the book is really all about, this is a larger issue about sort of upper middle class kids who went through sort of a downward family mobile issue.
Yes.
And that was true for me and for Mimi. And so it's sort of a story about, I don't know if you know this expression, about fallen wasps, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Oh, okay.
Who are,
yes,
downwardly mobile.
It's, as it unfolds, we're caught up in these two characters, Mimi, and caught up with her and Lacey, how they're reunited, and it's a very touching story. It's a powerful story. It's Missing Parts by Diana B. Roberts, our guest on the program. You've written other books. When did you start writing? What inspired you to write in the first place?
Yeah, you know, when I was a teenager, I was about 14, and I inherited a wicked stepmother. And the only way I knew how to deal with that was to have a place to go to. So I started writing my journals, and I kept on writing them right up until I started the first book, which was a memoir of my mother. So I've always written. Also in the Peace Corps, I wrote home stories about service in North Africa and what that was like. So I've always been a writer. It's just work got in the way. So I spent, nearly 40 years as a fundraiser, where you write more thank you notes than you could possibly
Oh,
believe by
yes.
hand.
Yeah, you have to do those by hand. They're much more impactful when they're handwritten with and personalized as well.
Yes, exactly. That's very boring stuff. But I've always written, and that's what f fuels me. I just always had to write. One of the questions that you wanted to ask me is about what is your writing process?
Yes.
So there are two kinds of writers. They're the writers that write down by each chapter and outline every single one. And then there are writers who write by the seat of their pants. And I'm a pants writer.
You know, I find that most people are. You read about this, you've got to be very structured. You've got the strict outline. Get the outline, you go back, you fill in with dialogue and end of story. I read and talk to so many people who say, I really let the story sort of dictate where this is going to go. I may not know when I sit down to the computer where I'm going that day as I'm sitting down to the computer. That sounds like you sort of like it organically flow.
That's right. Whether that's good or bad, I don't have a judgment about that. But I read one of your other interviews where the man said something about waking up at 2 in the morning, and he would write then in case he would forget it by the morning.
Yes.
I don't really do that. I let the story wander where it's going to, and I take time away too because. I like to think about what the next steps in the story are, and I have to go away and not write them for a while.
How is it to walk away from a story when you're telling this story, for example, Lacey and Mimi, and they meet in a homeless shelter, and Mimi has been through all sorts of problems in the several decades they really haven't seen each other. That's pretty heavy stuff. Is it difficult just to close the book on that for the night and get back to it the next day?
Yes, partly because I have spent a lot of time in the soup kitchens of the Episcopal Church in Boston, at the cathedral. And so I was pretty familiar with the kinds of people that show up there. And as I write about one of the guys who's completely nuts. And so I imagined what it would be like to encounter someone who had been dear to me in my life who would be estranged. And that's kind of what I imagined to write about. And what's later in the story is because these two women had grown up in pretty socially, upwardly accepted circles, going to private girls' school, et cetera. And they joined some socially acceptable clubs. And then Mimi goes off to Newfoundland and Diana goes in the Peace Corps. So when they come together in the Episcopal soup kitchen, it's like all time went away. And Lacey says, sit here, I'll come right back. And she goes back to get some coffee and she comes back and Mimi's gone because she couldn't take it. So then the rest of the story is Lacey pursuing reconnecting with Mimi in a really significant way. And then, of course, they both had joined a very socially prominent club in Boston, which was a charity to write musical theater, and then give the ticket sales to the Mass General Hospital. It was a charity, as a charity thing. So when they come together, it turns out that Mimi had written a musical theater performance up in Newfoundland to benefit the doctors of the hospital where she worked. And so she had saved this musical theater, this show that she had written. And the two of them get together and come together again in this social charity where they had spent time. And they produce a musical show. It's kind of a crazy end to the story.
The book is Missing Parts. The author, our guest on the program, Diana B. Roberts. Her website, very simple, dianabroberts.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. If you go to our website, you can link on directly to Diana's website, get information on the book, and order that there as well. What were some of the themes that you hope to convey in writing Missing Parts?
I wanted to write about the endurance of friendship, the impact of life's choices. Mimi goes one place and Lacey goes another, and they lose contact for 25 years. But more importantly, about resilience, the resilience of the spirit and the ability to renew after much adversity or much time lost.
Diana B. Roberts, our guest, the book is Missing Parts. What fuels your creativity? And I ask that because all of your life has been involved in the creative process. Trying to be a fundraiser successfully requires creativity as well. What fuels your creativity? Where does this come from?
Well, I'll tell you. Music. I've always been a singer. Music. And sports. I played team tennis for 25 years and squash. I love sports. I love watching all of the tennis international competitions. And that kind of fuels me to write other stuff. I don't know what else to tell you. Right now I'm doing line dancing and I sing in a choir. Those things fuel my creativity.
Still incredibly active. And other books, then we'll talk about that in a second, that Diana's written, and you'll find all of those at her website, dianabroberts.com. If you go Amazon looking for it, just go to her name and you'll be able to see the other books that she has written as well. How has your background shaped your writing? Obviously, a lot of similarities between you and Lacey and Mimi. How much of your background do you use in your writing?
Yeah, I sort of spoke a little bit inarticulately about sort of growing up in a socially prominent area of Boston and how times have changed that so many people are sort of coming down mobily from thinking that they were the finest things in the world.
Yes.
So going to private school and you know, going to dancing school as a kid and all of that stuff has all changed. And so writing about the sort of downwardly mobileness of people today was something that has always appealed to me. I don't know if you've ever heard of a book called The Late George Apley by Mark Twain. It's all about social Boston and the bygone days.
Oh, okay.
So that's a lot of my background that fuels what I write.
What was it like when you left that background and went to the Peace Corps? What was the Peace Corps experience like for you, and how did it shape you?
Well, it certainly turned me into a hippie.
Nothing wrong with that.
What'd you say?
Nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
So when I came home from the Peace Corps, I was chosen the 25,000th most outstanding return volunteer. Not because I'm the greatest thing in the world, but because all the newspapers wrote, debutante joins the Peace Corps.
Yes.
And so it and I landed in Washington in 1968 when they were crashing windows and Johnson was not going to run again. I got to meet President Johnson. And then they put me on the radio, which was called Pacifica back then.
Oh, yes.
Became NPR. And so the Peace Corps man said to me, listen, if you smoked all that dope in North Africa, just don't blow us out of the water. And I looked at them and I said, what? I didn't do any of that stuff. So what happened is the Peace Corps shaped me to become very anti-Vietnam. And I went to Washington and, you know, I protested the war and I really believed in the Peace Corps' three goals, which is you go abroad, help another country to grow their own food by showing them how to do it.
Yes.
And then you come home and you tell the world what you did to help another country. And so I believed all that stuff. But when I came home, the war was going on and I was very opposed to that. And so
Well,
that's what I did.
that was a time of great conflict and going through that. And
Yeah, it's sort of similar today. Yes.
yes, it is. And people out protesting, and it does bring back memories of that era, the mid to late 60s that so many of us went through. You mentioned before an author that had written a book I was not familiar with, but interesting topic. Who were some of the authors that shape you, that you enjoy reading, that maybe inspire you as a writer?
Yeah, Kristen Hanna is a terrific writer. I just read The Women, which is about nurses in Vietnam before women were ever allowed to go to Vietnam. Also, David Grand's book about the killing of the Flower Moon, the
Oh,
Indians in
yes.
Oklahoma. And also, I just finished Doris Kearns Goodwin's book called An Unfinished Love Affair. Of the 19, it's a portrait of the 1960s. But I would say Kristen Hanna is just about the best writer I know.
You mentioned Doris Kearns Goodwin. We've done several interviews with her over the years. Just a great guest, and I would just love to be able, there were interviews like half hour, but I'd love to sit for, I don't know, 3, 4 days and talk with her, what her
Oh.
husband went through in the Great Society, and all of the politics and the president she knew and what she knew and the wisdom she has. A remarkable lady.
Absolutely. I mean, Sergeant Shriver was my boss. He was the
Oh,
head of the Peace Corps.
yes.
You know, that was such, I mean, that was really a time of hope, which we're sort of talking about now. I think she is a fantastic writer because she can put the personal, the lives of personal and professional lives together in the middle of historic times. I mean, she's just a terrific writer.
And breaks it all
Yeah.
down so it's understandable, it's relatable, it's a great story, just a remarkable lady and an author. I mentioned
And she
before,
loved baseball. And she loved
a
baseball.
big baseball fan, a big baseball
Just like
fan.
I love tennis.
So, see some similarities there, liking sports. I mentioned you had written other books. Talk about the other books that you've written and what you're working on now.
Okay. The first book is called Farrago, A Memoir of Marky and Me. A farrago is an old English word for a confused mixture. And growing up with a mentally ill mother, believe me, that was a confused mixture. The second book is called Spare Parts. And we are all spare parts until we find our whole. That was my thinking. And it's about being a hippie and living in a commune in Des Moines, Iowa, and about the Peace Corps. And my first marriage. So, that was a lively time.
As you bring out in the book, I love the title as well, Spare Parts. Both those books and of course the new and missing parts available at dianabroberts.com or website. You'll find them Amazon, the usual places. What role does faith have in your writing?
You had one other question. You asked me if I had another book
Oh
coming,
yeah,
and
I'm sorry.
I
I'm
have. I'm
sorry.
writing another book called Tilt about joining a carnival when I was about 22 years old. But to answer your question, each of my books has my church appears in either the beginning, the middle, or the end in each of these books in some small way, which I'm a firm believer in community. The community of the Peace Corps, the community in a church, and the community inside a carnival.
Interesting because you see that, and I'm picturing a carnival now as you're walking behind the scenes and you see all the motor homes and the trailers back there, and they
Yeah,
do have
exactly.
it is community, and I'm looking forward to that Tilt. Any idea when that will be out?
Lord knows.
Okay. Well, just let me know and then we'll talk about that as well. I would love to have a chance to talk about that.
I guess I better hurry up.
No pressure, but when you're done, let me know, and I'd love to talk about it and read it as well. A couple minutes left talking with Diana B. Roberts about Missing Parts. What do you hope the message is as we read Missing Parts? There's so much that goes through my mind as a reader, and I mentioned it, I believe, at the beginning. We all go back and think of those people we were really close to, maybe lost contact with over the years, and what would happen if we meet them again with totally different circumstances. What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, I just think we all have people in our lives that we've lost touch with, and that it's really important to reconnect whenever you can. I was just reading a thing about Alzheimer's. You know, one of the things about Alzheimer's is people lose connections with people they've known, and they sort of lose hope about things.
Yes.
And it's just really important to stay connected and to socialize and go back and check out some of your best friends from 20 years ago. I have high school reunions every 5 years, and we come back together, men and women, and reconnect. And I just think that's really an important part of life.
The book is Missing Parts by Diana B. Roberts. I'd like to thank King Pages Press, the author's marketing consultant, for arranging our conversation today. Their website, kingpagespress.com. The book, again, Missing Parts, Diana's website, very simple. Her name, DianaBRoberts.com. Diana, a pleasure. Time went by way too quickly. Pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
And no pressure, but when Tilda's out, let's do it again.
Okay.
Back to the computer after we hang up today. That's Diana B. Roberts. This book, a very moving book, a story of two people reconnected after under different circumstances decades later. The book available wherever books are sold and at Diana's website, DianaBRoberts.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.